funny to look at how many areas and every year I've enjoyed one of every.
Well, I'm amazed that Parramatta have taken him back. For Jared, I think it's just a miracle.
It's kind of like, you know, in The Lion King when Simba comes back, and that's great for everyone. But in this case, it's more like Scar coming back.
Yeah,
it's like
right.
a fucked up Hamlet. Cameron Smith should be made to wear, I don't know, a really heavy headgear just to bring him back to the field.
I've always advocated for a drug league where you could actually take whatever drugs you felt would help you to play better.
Isn't there a danger here, guys, that, you know, they could be the Blues playing quite well high and then they're defending their red zone and suddenly James Roberts is ordering a hot dog and Deliveroo? Hello and welcome to the latest episode of The Voluntary Tackle, the only NRL podcast that is actively campaigning to have Jackson Hastings partner DCE in the halves for Queensland. I'm your host, Eamon Brown, and today we'll be discussing all the big news in the world of rugby league, including the final game of State of Origin, DCE's rise from cretin to seven, and perhaps the biggest nugget of controversy, why David Barnhill has been overlooked for immortal status. But first, I am joined by the only two men in Australia to have committed an egregious act of revenge porn against themselves. Of course, I refer to Chip Jones and Xander Risotto.
You know, mate, I thought that mask was... Full face. How did you know that?
You thought you were anonymous when you were posting your own dick pics to yourself.
Yeah.
Look, I guess a lot of it's still.
How did you know?
Well, a lot of it's subject to the courts, so I don't want to ruin the case.
Can I just say that I was very intentional in my decision not to remain anonymous.
Okay. And how did you become overt?
Well, by just not wearing any masks, obviously.
Okay.
And going stark as in front of a camera.
Out there and out and proud.
Posting it. Online, on Twitter, in fact.
Okay, and you were posting it to your own Twitter feed, weren't you? You were spamming yourself with your own nakedness, which was...
I was just really upset with myself.
Let's start with you, Chip.
In fact, before you assume anything, can we just ask that you show up weekly for the podcast? Can we get some kind of regularity? I've had a lot of Twitter feedback, okay?
Yeah.
From a lot of our loyal listeners, and you know who you are, and I love you.
There's been some unrest, hasn't there?
But Eamon, he just doesn't...
Been a lot of shout-outs.
Doesn't seem to give too much of a fuck about or any of you. So look, I think keep them coming in and let's, you know, I don't want to take a cheese grater to you, but...
Yeah, you don't want to do a Craig Bellamy.
Let's just try and keep it consistent.
Don't fold off any edges. But look, let's start with you, Chip. How is that Ukrainian pornography business going?
Mate, it's all right. I'm still struggling to get the wages down.
Well, I thought that'd be easy in a sort of Cold War environment.
Yeah, but once you become successful, you've got to ship it off somewhere else. And, you know, I can only store so much in the Cayman Islands. I've run out of islands.
That's probably a good segue to get to you, Xander. Now, it's been a few days since we've spoken, mate, but are you still trying to exhume the corpse of Yasser Arafat?
No, I moved on from
Why were you doing that again?
I'd seen this movie called The Mummy, and he just looked an awful lot like... The main character. I think Brendan Fraser was the one who played him. But
they look a bit similar, don't they? In fact, I've always thought Brendan Fraser acts like he has rigor mortis. He hasn't got a very expressive face.
I think he genuinely does now.
I think he does. And he has a hairpiece. I don't know if anyone knows that. I bet no one out there in podcast land thought we were going to enter this conversation about rugby league.
Straight away.
With a Brendan Fraser hair plug joke. But that's why people come to us. But look, we're going to get straight into the show, gents. And of course, it would be remiss of us not to discuss State of Origin. We finally won. How do we feel about that?
Fucking excellent, I've got to say. And I'm really looking forward to the dead rubber rinse. I think it's the only time I like seeing a blue rinse.
Mm. You certainly wouldn't want to end up with one late at night after a big night out.
What, in the club?
Yeah.
You got those dark lights.
It's
not until the morning.
You realise.
The dawn.
That faint smell of formaldehyde.
Starts to whisper through the hair.
It's not a good time.
An Origin blue rinse is generally preferable to a 3 a.m. King's Cross Blues rinse.
Now that we've won Origin, how do the New South Wales Blues celebrate that big blue rinse after we win Game 3?
I think with some hot yoga, perhaps.
Hot
yoga, some meditation sessions. I think that's what Freddie's got planned for them.
He's a very relaxed character.
Some alpacas.
So you think just get really loose and fuck some animals?
Wasn't where I was going, but sure, why not?
Could you do a rub and tug with animal? Like, is that...
You could.
You can do anything.
Like maybe like a...
Would you want to?
A rub and paw.
Well, I think you're venturing into one of your typical niche markets. And I love that about you, Chip. You're an ideas man that you have an idea that no one else has ever had.
Well, one idea that I would like to see.
I think they don't call it niche markets. I think they call it fetish.
I think it is sort of a fetish. You're right.
Well, one of the things I would like to see definitely is the return of the New South Wales flag over Story Bridge. Now, we've had that fucking Queensland flag flying over the Harbour Bridge pretty regularly over the last 10 years, if I'm not mistaken. Where the fuck's the Blues flag over Story Bridge?
Yeah, I mean, this used to be an agreement between the premiers, didn't it? But I think we had a chat about this off air. I don't think Palaszczuk or Berejiklian give a fuck about league.
I don't know if that's accurate, actually, Eamon. I did see Berejiklian on TV the other day saying that she thoroughly enjoyed watching the Sydney Swans play the Queensland Maroons.
She's mixed her metaphors there, hasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. She said she was really impressed when Barry Hall hit a six.
As long as she's not shagging blokes, I'm happy.
Yeah, look, that's another rabbit hole. We may not go down. But no, I mean, I think you're completely right, Chip. There should be some kind of retribution. And I think we need to get a little bit World War One with this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hear me out. I think as Blues fans, after this win, and it's been a long time, we should sort of take the approach that the Allies did in World War One, and maybe just physically take back some land from the Queenslanders. Mm. So I'm proposing
annexation.
Yeah, let's just take a little bit of Suncorp. Yep. Let's just start with that. Maybe not the whole thing at first. Could be a bit of a logistical nightmare. But maybe, I don't know, just the in-goal areas, for example.
Yep.
And if we win next year's series, we take a third.
Take a 10-metre line or something.
Yeah. Yep. And then we start taking people. Okay. Not as sex slaves or anything, just, you know, to embed into our economy.
Do we really want those people? I mean, do we need more doll bludgers?
Well, we need people to work service stations, which I think Queensland would be very good at. Sort of very low-rent jobs.
Are they qualified for that?
I'd say so, because they're sniffing a lot of petrol as it is.
We could also do some people to, like, get their fucking trams happening.
That's true. Maybe we could just ride Queenslanders, because we know the light rail is never going
to
come.
It's just a disgrace. I mean, one thing I was hoping to do was actually kidnap Greg Inglis and tattoo a Blues flag on his face.
Oh, well, that's subtle.
You know, because he's supposed to be a New South Wales guy, and now that they've lost, I think we should, you know, mark him up a bit.
I like it. And I guess
we should just break his other thumb, to be honest.
He's broken his thumb, isn't he? So he's out of game three, which will obviously help us because he's been
their
best
player. What was he doing with that thumb?
Whitey apparently gave him some tips before the last
game. Is
that
right? Yeah. I didn't know that. Well, I mean,
supposed to break it off.
No. Well, they say
Greg, he does everything 110%.
That's true.
You need anything to win with
Greg. One thing we could do is, propose removing a toe per loss. So per series loss, we could take one of Greg's toes.
Like the Yakuza, but on your feet.
And pretty much. And then, if we can get to 10 series in a row, we can watch his sidestep just get increasingly more painful and less effective.
And I guess over time, there'd be a real diminishing return there, wouldn't there, for him? Because after a while, as a centre, he won't be able to move.
Well, he wouldn't be kicking.
No, there'd be no more kicking. Yep, it's very third world. But, I mean, we take our rugby league very seriously. So I think that's a pretty good idea we should put to the NRL. I was thinking maybe as well, guys, we could... I suggested before that we should maybe abduct the Wally Lewis statue, and I think maybe that's too far. But what if we just put a giant blue penis on it instead?
Where?
In the appropriate zone, in the groinal area, so that people know deep down Wally Lewis...
He wants a blue rinse.
He wants a blue bukkake.
He really wishes he had a blue-sized penis.
Mm. And, I mean, it's just the humiliation of it that I would like to see implemented, because if he was out there in all of his bronze glory with just a giant phallic blue penis, people would pretty soon start to realise that the Queensland dream is over.
Does that happen sometimes if you don't remove the ring?
Sometimes, mate, yeah.
Goes a bit weird.
It starts off blue, then it goes purple.
And yeah, that's purple, right.
Maroon. Okay.
Maroon, yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously then it falls off.
Yeah.
And you're in a world of pain, which can be a problem. I just thought as well, obviously none of us here are fans of Cameron Smith. I think it could be a thing where, I know he's retired and he's trying to get out of this and trying to escape all the retribution, but what if we made Cameron Smith do something deeply humiliating on national television? For example, I'm just going to spitball with you. We make him wipe the ass of Clive Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know what, the lotto,
it's
where they do the lotto balls?
It's quite a bit of surface area on there.
Well, yeah, it would. I mean, be a horrible job.
I think you've got to be more clever, because I somehow think that Cameron Smith would work out a way to get one of the NRL referees to do it for him.
He'd cut down. He'd cut corners, wouldn't he?
He'd probably be looking at the toilet paper and this is recyclable. It's slightly brown paper. Hey, that white jersey you've got on, Mr. Referee, that'll really show up nicely where I've kind of wiped and where I haven't. So why don't you just let me borrow that for 5 minutes?
And judging by Clive Palmer's massive ass, I think he just enjoys anything that goes near it.
Would be a big job, wouldn't it? I mean, that's why I think it would be great to do it on the hour once a week, because it's such a large surface area, it would take a while for Cameron to get through
it. Who's wiping his ass now?
I don't think anyone is.
Really?
Well, he used to have a team of ethnic workers, but now that his business has gone bankrupt, I think he's just letting his anal passage rot.
Actually, yeah. I hear Tony Abbott's doing it.
Really?
Yeah, he subbed in.
Well, I mean, that's a horrible image.
He's
Xander.
A cheeky bastard, isn't he?
Oh, it's not good. What else can we do, boys, though? I mean, how can we rub it into these Queenslanders?
I mean, it's taken us this long to win. And now I think we really need to get that gloating structure in place.
A nice framework
to really rub some, you know, not just salt, but like crushed sea salt, maybe some pink Himalayan rock salt into the wound.
I love it.
Let's get a little bit more.
I reckon I've heard it stings a little bit more. 5%. Which is, well, I think what Freddie's... here's the thing. I think people have always accused Brad Fittler of being, a bit of a dense space cadet. But as Chips rightly mentioned in previous podcasts, he's a bit of a psychological demon, isn't he? He's doing things during this series that's purely designed to fuck with the Queenslanders' brains. The same thing with the llamas, for example. Mm. There was no logical reason to be surrounded by llamas.
No,
or salsa dancing.
It does get you thinking, why is he doing that?
Exactly.
And I think he's really turned him around like that. I think Brad Fittler could now potentially come out and say, really, the reason that we beat you so well was because, you know, we went finger painting with the local children, the six-year-olds.
Yeah, the sick kids.
And it really turned us around.
Just pure philanthropy can win you an Origin series.
Exactly.
I mean, it was very nice of us to finally retire Josh Dugan, for example. I thought that was we started out with a real act of kindness. We took him out the back behind the shed and blew his brains out. And it was the best for all parties, let's face it.
Surprisingly, you didn't miss him.
No, he didn't manage to dodge the bullets. Mm. He's never been good at that. Evasion has never been his thing. Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Now, today on the podcast, we're asking why Queensland selected Daly Cherry Evans at halfback when Manly aren't keen on selecting Daly Cherry Evans at halfback. Gents, this is a bit of a perplexing one. Potentially, Kevin Walters is just playing his own form of mind games by picking the 17th best halfback in the competition. But we need to probably get to the nub of the matter here on the podcast, and we solve problems. That's what we do, what we try to. We usually probably create a fair few as well, to be fair. But I'm wondering here if this is just Queensland's attempt to switch up this. Remember their pick and stick thing? They've been doing this for a lot of years. Maybe they're trying to change that mentality a little bit, and they're opting out of the pick and stick for pick a dick.
They've definitely snapped the pick and stick.
They've snapped that stick is gone, and instead they're picking a dick.
Or a
and without being too... you know, gratuitous about it.
Yeah, they've picked a prick and a dick, and now they're going to try and stick.
Is this NRL's version of pluck a duck?
You know, I got to say, I think you're both wrong. I think it's a tactical move. They want somebody who can peer into the New South Wales back line, so they decided to pick a giraffe.
He has got a very elongated neck, doesn't he? I think if they exhumed the corpse of Daly Cherry Evans in 1,000 years, they'd go, what's this species? They'd go, it's not humanoid.
Can we not like exhume him like,
now?
A little sooner than that?
We're going to bury him first.
I think it might be after
game three.
That's, that's fine. You know, one thing I worry about DCE being in this team, is he getting paid enough?
It's a good question. I think he'll probably have a few words for Kebby if he does get into the starting lineup. He'll probably say, look, I'm only getting 60 grand a game. Mm. I think I should be on a million.
Yeah, I get the feeling with Daly, he wouldn't be very happy with just cash. I think he'd like a bit of digital currency. He'd love some Bitcoin.
Definitely Ethereum.
Some kind of portfolio of shares, I would have thought. And maybe just a property, just one property.
Maybe he could chat to Inglis about a boat.
Yes, he probably could.
You know?
Yeah, I bet he'd have all sorts of transport.
Get him floating. I mean, the other thing there with DCE is, you know, is he getting paid enough is a very real question for him, because I know he doesn't perform well unless he's getting paid enough. But, you know, is he going to be happy with the type of water bottles they're using?
Yep.
Have they got the right masseuse? You know, really, what kind of parking spot is he going to get at the ground? I mean, you know, he had to walk past, you know, three other players to get there.
Would he need a parking spot? I would have thought that Cherry Evans would get a chauffeur.
I think actually he'd be the type of man to love opulence to the extent where he would just ride a slave. Like, I think he'd write just a natural, you know, not like a black slave out of, you know, middle America. I mean, just a very poor person.
Yep.
He'd say, look, I'll give you a threepence, and I'm going to jump on your shoulders and I'm going to ride you to Suncorp.
I'll give you a threepence and a good bashing.
Yes.
And you can say thank you. And I think he's probably the kind of guy that would actually dress the bum up for the occasion.
Yeah, he'd want a glamorous
just
bum.
Take the piss out of him.
Yeah.
And then take the clothes back afterwards and kick him. You'd fuck
so,
off.
So he would probably carry around just constantly on his person a top hat and a monocle.
Yeah,
that he would dress the bum in and then hop on the bum and ride. And as you write, he would definitely confiscate that by the time he arrived at the ground. We've definitely got him pegged. Now, I'm just wondering here as well, guys, is this could be a Queensland strategy, picking DCE, to insulate themselves against the risk of them picking Jackson Hastings. Now, I know he's not eligible. He's from New South Wales. But they know by picking DCE... You're definitely not going to have Jackson Hastings there, you'd imagine.
They have stolen a few of our players. Look, I think we should look into the legal frameworks here and try and open it up a bit for them this time. I reckon Jackson could find a home in Queensland.
How good would it be if we start a Kickstarter campaign just to get Jackson Hastings to relocate to Brisbane and just dedicate his entire career to making the Maroons side? Not even first grade NRL, just make the Maroons.
But, you know, if he is a New South Welshman, what are the implications if... some reason Freddie decides to reverse his no dickheads policy and picks him as a half. What's a head-to-head dickhead v dickhead contest look like?
Jackson Hastings.
Yeah, Jackson Hastings and DC. Who comes out on top?
That's actually a world title bout, isn't it?
Kevin Walters actually just trying to psych New South Wales out of ever picking somebody like that stupid?
Look, the weird thing about this is there's been a history of Dally Terry Evans. Now, everyone knows that most of that winning squad for Queensland didn't like him. And for good reason. He's a fairly unpalatable human being. But to pick him now when they're in the midst of such crisis, to me it does sort of strike me as a potential Trojan horse. So are they trying to walk New South Wales into some kind of booby trap here?
They might not play him. This just could be a big feint.
Yep.
We're gonna bring in DCE and we roll up there and, you know, Cameron Smith gets off the bus with a cheeky fucking grin on his face.
Yep.
Like
he just
wearing a poo-stained ref's jumper.
Yep.
You know, bringing Cooper Cronk with him or something.
So you think they could just storm back with all these classic immortal-type players?
They'll just try and bring him back.
What will happen to DCE then? Because I presume he's not in on this.
No.
Yeah.
They'll laugh at him.
Could they bring him out tied up to a stake and burn him before kickoff?
Well, anything's possible.
You know, just to make a statement.
It'd be a funny psych out, wouldn't it?
Like... it would scare the shit out of me if I was playing for the Blues. I mean, they're effectively Joan of Arcing him up in Suncorp. It's a hell of a... I'll tell you what, it beats the shit out of the hucker. Perhaps the Queenslanders guys are going for that reverse psychology approach, where instead of having this mantra of having a team united, they've got Dally up there to deliberately divide the team. And maybe the divide and conquer strategy. Mm. Maybe they're looking to get New South Wales in some kind of elaborate pincer movement.
Sounds a little like what you're referring to is a kind of art through adversity approach to football strategy here.
Okay.
Kevin Walters, I think he's taken a leaf out of the Freddie Fittler book of looking at the new age approach to running a football team. And maybe this is just his way of doing it. He's going to try and run this like a poetry group.
Well, it doesn't sound intimidating, does it? Are they going to turn up with just a lot of, Jane Austen novels and just get really aggressive and then eventually dress up as Mr. Darcy and try to fuck an Elizabeth Bennet?
Look, you know, I mean, haven't we all wanted to do that?
I do that every Saturday. G'day to my tutor group.
I think when you come into these kind of periods of time now, it really shows your character, and I think that's what they're going to they're really going to find they're lacking in that department.
Well, they've lost a lot of characters. But in a way, they've gained a lot of characters by taking Cherry Evans into this match because as far as a character in a film, he's like a fucking evil supervillain, isn't he? I mean, he's definitely a character. You couldn't accuse him of being, the guy who disappears at the party or a bit aloof. I mean, he's an in-your-face cunt, isn't he?
You could probably say that if you'd have gone back in time to pre-game one this year and said, look, by the end of this season, Jarryd Hayne won't be mentioned and DCE will be back in for Queensland. You'd be going, we won!
Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Now, we're still talking Origin in a way, gents, because it's Billy Slater's last game. And as has been the way for most Queenslanders for the last decade, very unfortunately, they tend to get sent off in good fashion by winning a series. This time it won't happen for Billy, and that's a good thing. Look, that aside, we're actually asking today on the podcast, what should Billy Slater do in his last Origin game that he's never done before?
Well, I would like to see him perhaps skydive onto the field.
Oh, wow, that's an entrance. Okay. Yep.
And I'm happy to pack the parachute if he's worried about it being a little bit sus. And yep. And look, even if he fucks it up, it'll make great viewing.
So we get the Blues team, potentially, yep, to pack the parachute. We take him up to 5,000 feet.
Well, maybe 10.
Okay, 10, just to be sure of it. Yep. And then we say, good on you, Billy, your last game,
yep,
make an entrance.
Off you go.
Yep, and here's a house brick. Yep. Take it easy.
Well, perhaps to make it more important, I thought we could do it like a Point Break type thing and throw the parachute out first.
Make him go and get it.
And then just say, there you go, Billy, there it is, mate.
Billy, if you really want this.
Yeah.
Jump out of that plane.
Yeah, maybe you could like draw a little football on it or something, so he knows.
Yep.
You know.
Oh, I think I love the idea. And just to be clear, we're going to put that concrete bollard in it, weren't we?
Yeah, we'll just like the parachute may or may not work.
Yes.
But you know.
Well, that's league. You don't know what way it's going to go.
No, the ball could bounce anywhere.
Now, look, is there any new rules that we can implement for Billy Slater's last game?
Get a new jersey for him would be good, actually.
Okay, what did you have in mind?
The Italian soccer jersey.
Okay.
Has he broken the record this year for the most dives per season? There was a stat going around about that.
Yes, you're right. He dives more than Greg Louganis. Thank you, 80s diving reference. He dives a lot, mate. You're 100% right. And it's certainly something that I would like to see him maybe not do. Just one fucking game.
Could we bring back the coat hanger?
And just rub it up, like straight up his anus, just like an abortion?
Billy. No. Like
backyard abortions only here on the Voluntary Tackle.
In reference to the high shot. The swinging arm, for want of a better term.
Oh, yeah. So you're saying what, on Billy? Are you saying
just Billy?
Okay.
So anytime Billy's, you know, running the angle, inside ball, clothesline.
Oh, I love this idea, actually. I think I know what you're getting at, Chip. So essentially, Billy's last game, what we change is the fact that the rules don't apply to him.
Pretty much.
So you can do anything you want to him.
I think, you know, let's bring back the shoulder charge. Let's bring back the clothesline tackle. Yep. You know, you can arm up if you want to. I mean, I think when he's running at that speed, you know, it's a bit like the blade of grass and hurricane. It doesn't really matter what it's made
of.
That's
true. It's gonna a shiv is a shiv is a shiv, as they say. That's poetry.
I think they say it three times. There's a reason for that, because you've got to go a good three or four times.
That's the general jailhouse rule. If you're in the courtyard,
to be sure,
you need to, otherwise that motherfucker will come back for you. If The Wire has taught me nothing else, it's that Billy Slater should be stabbed multiple times, if you want to make sure of it.
Yeah. I get that message from every show, which is just The Wire.
Yeah, even Family Feud.
Yeah, yep.
Family Feud. I want to stab Grandenya many times. Welcome back to The Voluntary Tackle. Now, there's been a lot of talk, we're going to move from Origin, but there's been a lot of talk about the Immortals in the last couple of weeks, boys. Now, there's a lot of great names being mentioned. There's your Mal Meningas and your Darren Lockyers, your Norm Provens, Dally Messengers. But it seems to me, or it doesn't just seem to me, it seems to us as a group, because we've had rather intense discussions about this, that there seemed to be one man who's been deliberately overlooked, and we have no idea why. So on the podcast today, we're asking, why is David Barnhill being overlooked for Immortals selection, even by David Barnhill himself? Gents, what's behind this?
Well, I mean, I don't like to scream conspiracy. There's got to be something going on behind the scenes here. I mean, even David Barnhill himself has kind of given up on becoming an immortal. And
is that just shameless self-pity, though? Because he's used to losing things. Not that we're trying to do his chances any damage here. But, I mean, he's used to losing, like, games and
hair,
obviously. Yeah. Is that a part of it as well? Is it the fact he has that sort of serial killer-esque horseshoe Mr. Burns' haircut? Is that something that would potentially hold someone like David Barnhill back?
Well, definitely it affects the airflow when you're running.
I've never thought about the physics.
If you're just straight bald, I mean, Darren Lockyer, for example, you know, when he started losing hair, he just went straight bald. And I think
then he went straight full head of hair suddenly at the beginning of the year.
He's gone full circle, hasn't he?
It's a little bit suspicious. Yeah. But when he was playing his rugby, he committed. He committed to it and he said, you know, I'm just going to go full bald. I'm going to go the bald eagle.
The full chrome dome. Do you think that was David Barnhill's mistake, dear?
I think he let himself down there.
So can you explain the physics of that to me, Chip? So because he's retained the hair around the back and the sides, are you saying that was effectively some kind of wind trap? Is that slowed him down a bit? Like, you know, when the really fast cars, they try to do the land speed record and then they pop the parachute at the end to slow them down.
That's right.
Maybe David Barnhill wasn't aware that that's what he's been doing all these years.
Don't try and run with a parachute.
No.
It's stupid.
So it probably held him back, but it certainly didn't hold him back from some amazing performances.
Well, I think it affected his sidestep.
He didn't have much of
you
one.
You know, and like, to be honest, I think if he had shaved his hair, it would have been even more difficult to overlook him.
I'm going to throw another variable into the mix, boys. I actually think that David Barnhill would have been better had he not had that stupid headband. Now, he used to play with the headband.
Yeah,
remember the 80s? It was in vogue in the 80s in particular to wear the headband to prevent the cauliflowered ears.
Yeah.
I actually think because he wore that sort of headband, he's in that now bucket with your Pat Cashers and your Wayne Pierces.
Yep.
And, well, dare I say it, your Mitchell Pierces. Not because he wore a headband, just because he's shit. So I'm just wondering if that's another variable as to why they're overlooking
him. I don't know. I mean, that's a little bit like having a go at him for wearing shoulder pads when everyone did in the 80s as well. Like, I mean, if you
that's
weren't wearing shoulder pads, you weren't in the 80s.
That's true. But it's a bit like the Me Too move, isn't it? It's just what we did back then, sir. You know, I don't think it exonerates you completely, Xander. You know, we used to just love to touch some tits. Used to be fun. I didn't know if they screamed. It didn't really matter.
Are bad fashion choices on the same level as sexual assault?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. And I think to attain the kind of gravitas that this conversation needs, we certainly need to put it on that mantle of sexual assault.
I've had some wardrobe malfunctions that have verged on sexual assault.
Did they sexually assault you?
Has there ever been a statement that needs more clarification than that one? There needs to be so much more context.
Like I've worn some very tight boxes before that felt like they were sexually assaulting me, but...
Tell me, what does this wardrobe... I don't want to digress too much away from Barnhill, because he deserves our attention, but please tell me what wardrobe malfunction you had.
Well, you've seen Janet Jackson at the...
I remember Justin Timberlake, the famous Super Bowl.
Well, need I say more?
Well, I think you do.
Well, look, on advice of counsel, I've been advised to...
Retract your statements.
Just shut up and drink my whiskey.
Now, boys, David Barnhill's statistics don't do him any favours, obviously. He only scored, I think, 9 tries in his entire career.
Made 6 tackles.
He made a number of tackles, to be fair, Xander. I mean, that's all he did.
6 is a number.
6, well, that's true. I think he did double digits, is what I'm saying. They don't record those kind of statistical details on NRL.com, but I do know he made tackles. He also played some rep. Played for New South Wales.
He did.
He wore that headband. He wore the headband. He brought that in, which I thought was a bit disrespectful, actually, because it wasn't blue. He brought the headband in. And
it was black.
Yeah. And I thought, well, you're wearing your own uniform.
I mean, it was black. Like, you've heard of, you know, black armband movements. Maybe he was just, you know, commemorating the loss of his hair.
Could have been in mourning.
Yeah. I mean, he'd been mourning for 10 years. He lost it early.
I know. He had that headband on the whole time. It's worth noting.
You know, what's funny is I don't think it really gets mentioned enough how many players kind of followed in his footsteps. I mean, Craig Fitzgibbon wouldn't be there without David Barnhill.
No, 100% right. His legacy in the game is unparalleled. And I have said that many times.
No one has a legacy like that.
No.
In fact, he is the most under-mentioned player in rugby league.
That is his legacy. And just for the listeners' credit, when we were doing a bit of research on David Barnhill, a little bit of a tear hit Sander's eye because he saw an article that said, David Barnhill, RIP. And he said, we can't talk about him. David's dead. And I said, that's ridiculous. I would have heard about that.
I believe I said we should mention the fact that he needs to be honoured because he's dead.
You know, something along those lines then. But God rest his father died. Same name. I don't know why I'm saying I don't know if you can't see this.
No,
I'm doing a sign of the cross, which I think in its own way is disrespectful, and
was he Christian?
I have no idea. I made presumptions.
We know he wasn't very imaginative because he named his son after himself.
I think we should make David Barnhill great again.
I think you're right. Can we get this hashtag trending on Twitter? I know we don't have a huge influence, but if we use as much trickery and leverage off popular trends as much as we can, the hashtag make David Barnhill great again. Finally, we might get some currency for poor old David Barnhill, who, if anyone knows this, he's living back in, I think, in Wagga, promoting rugby league to South Africans. I mean, he's basically living...
It's very close to South Africa, to Wagga. It's a really good move.
It's on its way.
Yeah.
You're right. It's a tough life, isn't it?
How do you do that?
Yeah. He's basically living in poverty.
Let's do a role play.
Okay. I love role play.
You're David Barnhill.
Who's the gimp?
And, Xander can play a good gimp. I'll play...
I like spanking them.
I'll play the South African And, okay. And let's say you're trying to introduce me to rugby.
Wait, who's
league.
My role? You've you're got David a gimp Barnhill. And a... Okay, I'm David.
You're the man.
You're a South African and Xander, you're a gimp. This is already fun. Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, how's it, eh? So what you jawling at, day? Eh? Can you tune me? How's it?
Okay, I'm David Barnhill. That's right. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I heard that you playing your rugby, eh?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, tell me, eh?
Could you not... I... Well, could you not bother me? I'm at my dad's funeral. Welcome back to The Voluntary Tackle. Here on the podcast, we're asking, what can Ben Hunt do to better handle pressure after Kevin Walters benched him for that very reason, for a dead rubber? Ouch. Now, gents, this seems to me to be kind of reverse engineering common sense and then turning it upside down and fucking it up the arse, because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If you want someone to handle pressure, is it the best thing for their confidence to be benched in a dead rubber?
It hurts.
It's got to hurt, doesn't it?
There's a certain logic to this, though, I think, guys, that you're not recognising. And, okay. And, you know, what pressure is there in a dead rubber? How do you get used to playing, you know, with pressure in a dead rubber? So maybe the logic here is that, look, he needs more experience playing in high-stakes, high-pressure games. Mm. So let's only play him in those until they become the norm. So, you know, potentially put him out playing for one of the teams in the World Cup final in the soccer in a couple of weeks.
Okay, so even cross codes,
yeah, sure,
you'd see him just playing.
Have the biggest show on earth rest yep. completely on his shoulders, and then just get him used to playing at that level. And then Origin
would be a cakewalk.
Exactly.
Okay, I like the logic
maybe
there.
Just bring him on for penalty shootouts.
So, yeah, like in the World Cup final, yep. all of a sudden Ben Hunt with his one leg comes out, yep. the sort of rickety. Well, to be fair, he's very good at kicking a ball hard. Near a goal line.
I suspect he'd probably kick it to the corner.
He probably would. It'd be the first time he kicks it short of the line.
Yeah. Yeah,
which he's right. never been able to master in NRL, unfortunately.
You know, I did have a think about this. How can we get him to handle the pressure? Look, I think generally I've got a couple of ideas here. Number one, playing the game of rugby league, you do take a few knocks and scrapes. During the day, and generally when you come off, one of the recovery things you'll do is take an ice bath.
Yep.
And I thought if he didn't perform, you could make it a vinegar bath for a start.
Okay. Would you cut him first?
If need be.
Okay.
Attach electrodes to his testicle?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, how sort of down the level of enhanced interrogation
do you
want to go?
We could go in stages. So the first one might be your vinegar bath. The second, you could get a little bit psychological and just burn his feet while he's sleeping at random moments.
Okay.
Get the lighter out and burn him awake.
Right.
And then if he really gets bad, you just take a cheese grater to his balls.
Okay.
Because I think
we skipped a step. If you're supposed to waterboard.
If you grate the balls, it'll improve grip.
Of the balls?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you won't drop them.
Oh, you mean of the footballs. I thought you meant Ben Hunt's balls. So I wasn't quite sure. I mean... are they meant to be slippery generally, in general play?
Well, it depends which balls you're talking about.
Okay, yeah.
So which balls are we talking about?
I mean, I'm confused. All I can think, unfortunately, is about Ben Hunt's balls, and I don't want to. So if
is
you
that,
could just...
Is that a problem?
I assume, before the podcast, unfortunately. I'm seeing a shrink about it. But I'm wondering, just to expand on what Chip's saying, for me, what you're advocating there, if I may say so...
Is to shrink his balls.
Well, yes, if you're doing it with the ice bath and the shredder. But I'm also thinking you're advocating for what I would call first-degree violence. Now, is that the kind of thing we need to make him better under pressure? Do we need to actually almost kill him? I feel it might be a bit extreme.
Would it help?
Maybe. I mean, you could be a genius. You could be the anti-Freddy. Instead of taking a really relaxed approach... You take a very austere approach and just brutalise your players, otherwise known as the Michael Maguire.
If you win and if you play well, I'll treat you nicely. And if you play shit and lose, I'm going to hurt you.
It's the electric chair.
Bit like a tyrant.
Is it safe?
I like it. Well, I mean, I don't know if I like it, but I mean...
I hear that's how...
I see the logic.
I hear that's actually how the North Korean soccer team are trained. If you lose, we kill your family. You know.
Unfortunately, it's never worked, has it? Because no one's ever turned into a Messi or a Ronaldo-type player.
As far as their media is concerned, they're, seven-time World Cup reigning champions.
That's true. Yeah. But as the family and the victims are concerned, they've never seen those players again.
If you know your family's going to be killed if you lose, it may not incentivise you to play well if you're separated, you're paying big alimony costs.
There's a flaw in the logic there. They don't take...
Really, I could do with just free and clear. I think I'll miss this penalty.
Look, for Ben Hunt, for me, It might, you know, benefit him if we took him to a trip to Newcastle for a day, but just take him for a day trip and just let him watch a day in the life of Mitchell Pearce and just tell him, look, mate, you better perform on the big stage or this is what you'll look like. And I think that'd be the type of thing to scare him straight.
Particularly when the biggest attraction in Newcastle was a number seven.
That's right.
That doesn't live there anymore. And it's become really successful helping out the Roosters and State of Origin.
I'm wondering if, just for the time being, we start changing the gear of football a little bit. So we know, for example, he's kicking the ball dead a lot. That's not good for a halfback. Bad short kicking game. Maybe what we do is we give him a football with a proximity mind in it.
Mm.
So when he kicks the football, if it goes too far, he just kills a bunch of innocent people in the crowd. Mm. I think that's the type of thing that might rein him back in.
Maybe increasing the weight of the football might be a simpler way.
Okay. So well, what kind of weight did you have in mind? You
know, maybe just giving like him a football made of uranium-235. It's very dense and heavy.
Okay.
It'd be very hard for him to kick it very far at all.
Would he be able to kick it at all, though, Xander? That'd be the thing. I think he'd just break his foot, wouldn't he?
Probably be best for all of us.
I think so. And then what you should do is also bring out more munitions and just put him out of his misery.
Well, you know, I really like the way we've moved away from wanton violence and...
gone straight back there. Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Now, we're moving into the domestic realm here a little bit, boys. We're talking about one team who started off the year quite well, it must be said, but the back end of the season for them has not been pleasant. And, of course, we refer to the West Tigers. Now, the big issue with these guys is scoring points. They can, you know, have pretty good D, but they can't score points. And that's obviously a problem in modern-day NRL. I think we can all agree with that.
Tough to win games.
Very tough to win games, Chip. So we're asking here on the podcast, should the NRL change some rules so that the Tigers can finally start scoring some points? Now, I might kick it off here, guys. I say a good way, I find when they've got the ball, it seems like they don't have enough runners off the ball. So I'm proposing that the Tigers be allowed to have all three of their grades run on to the field at once. I want to see roughly 74 to 78 Tigers on the field at one time, and preferably five or six Kevin Nagaimas.
So you really struggle with the Shepherd rule.
That could be a problem for them. Mm. Yeah, you're right, because the obstruction rule gets policed so stringently as it is.
Yeah. You're going to have a lot of defensive players taken out. I mean, I personally wonder whether it's got something to do with the fact that, the Tigers, the mascot, the Tigers, you know, they're virtually extinct. There's not many Tigers running wild these days.
No, you're
not in Sydney.
I thought, you know,
certainly not in Sydney. Not these days.
Can we change up the...
So you think that the mascot might be integral to their failing on the field at the moment?
Well, maybe we could call them the Balmain Tasmanians.
For the Tasmanian Tiger?
Yeah, we could go like a double Tiger.
Or as in just Tasmanian people. Should they be represented by a Martin Bryant-esque person?
That might make them more vicious. A little bit more unhinged. Perhaps.
Very unhinged, yeah. But like also maybe not effective because they'd be caged up.
That's true.
They could be the first team to do a triple merger.
Okay, who else would you propose?
Tasmania.
So Tasmania, Western Suburbs Magpies and the Balmain Tigers all in one team.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then you call them, you know, the Tiger Tigers or something.
Oh, like the Tasmanian Tigers.
Down. Yeah, the Tasmanian...
It writes itself.
The Balmanian Tigers.
I actually think, they are very good at getting in the opposition 20, just not doing much once they get there. I think we should basically make it like the end zone in the NFL. If they can get into the 20 of their opponent, they should get...
10 points.
Yeah, 10 points. That should be a try for them. That, like, consider it a touchdown. You've touched down into your opponent's 20.
I love it.
That's enough.
I love it. And I even think you could go further and you could say, if you complete a set, that's 2 points.
Mm. Well, if they play,
so it's cumulative.
I don't know if that's fair on the basis of the game they played on the weekend.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have got any points, from that one. That's a shame. Maybe they need to have maybe just half a set.
Yeah.
Like training wheels. Start off, have three complete rucks, have 2 points. Or maybe it's a point or ruck
chip. Just play the ball.
Yep.
Like if you can complete a play the ball.
Successful play the ball should earn them 1 point.
Okay. Yep. And should we have one of those crazy point systems where if they do something kind of obscure, they get 100 points? And that'll be great for their differential because it's struggling at the moment.
Shooting a pass.
Now, I don't want to go down the laneway of abject violence again, but I will. I'm just wondering in this case, if the West's Tigers should be allowed, they should have a dispensation where they can take some weapons into the game. And I don't want, I'm not talking about military style weaponry, okay? I'm talking about, you know, letting the wingers have some whippersnippers.
Maybe a cotch.
I mean, they did bring a weapon to the game over the weekend. They brought Robbie Farah's rather pointed personality onto the field.
It is a very, very rough personality, isn't it? It is. Yeah, and it's very uncompromising.
Got a real scowl on him.
He does. He has the scowl of someone who's been in a Russian prison for 25 years.
He does look like somebody who's just escaped a gulag. You're right.
You're right. He's, in fact, maybe that should be his nickname, Gulag. No, look, I don't think Robbie Farah was the homecoming that he was after. Although it should be said he played very well, but at the same time, never cracked a smile.
It is, I mean, like, you know, played well at, it's kind of relative, isn't it? Like, I mean, he played well in the context of a team that weren't completing
any sets.
Play the ball.
That's right. Yeah. So by playing well, he just, you know, he, if you kicked off the ball successfully, you've played well.
Doing that.
Yeah, no, he's done quite well.
Could we do a Kickstarter campaign to get him to crack a smile?
Well, I think so.
How much should we need to raise for him to crack a smile?
I think just a lifetime supply of Prozac. If we just pumped him full of pharmaceuticals that just turned that frown upside down.
What is he like? I mean, what is he into?
Nothing.
I mean, don't say winning because that's not going to happen.
Coffee? I think he likes coffee.
I know he likes his weights. He's a bit of a gym junkie. Okay. Maybe that, you know, I did see something going around Twitter the other day that could explain his attitude. Was it takes, you know, the old saying, it takes like 14 muscles to frown and only 2 to smile.
He's exercising.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. They said, you know, frown all day, gains.
Oh, well, maybe you're saying there's a method in his very austere madness.
To build cheek muscles.
Okay. Mm. But do you think having really strong facial muscles is an advantage in the game of NRL? Because I would have thought it was more restricted to your core strength.
Well, I mean, you know, Campbell Gillard probably thinks it would have an advantage.
He would have loved that at that time. He wouldn't have lost his mandible chip if he had stronger muscular system around his jaw.
Maybe that's Did we find that yet?
No, it still hasn't been found. In fact, if this is going out to the rugby league community, if you do come across Regan Campbell-Gillard's lower mandible, please return it to him, but first use it as a novelty xylophone first.
Do we have a bit of fun with it. Actually take away a triple barrel name now that he's lost a mandible?
I think so.
Like, he's not quite what he was.
No, he's not. He's only a third of what he was.
He's really like a Campbell-Gillard now.
We've focused a lot on the Tigers, but is there stuff that we can do to the opposition, do you think, to sort of even up the playing field a little bit? I don't know, some kind of handicap for the opposition.
I actually hear that there are a few doctors in Russia currently working on the World Cup that might have a few methods in mind.
Okay.
They've managed to take a team over there that apparently hadn't won since 1943 to the final 8 of the soccer, which is an impressive feat. So I hear that mass poisonings of opposition.
Is that how
players,
they're doing it?
So bribing of officials. Yeah, like right. Plenty of stuff.
So on all fronts. So you need to do some administrative bribery.
Yeah.
You need to hand out
you
some
need to
poison.
Cover a few bases, like what they're
anabolic steroids.
Exactly. You know.
Yep. You probably have to install a dictator around the council of Leichhardt, who would probably, if anyone offended him, murder the local press. You wouldn't want to be working for the fucking Wentworth Courier.
The NRL does have Peter Beattie, so we're halfway there.
That's true. Well, I mean, you know, Peter Beattie is one guy who seems to cop a lot of shit on Twitter, I've noticed. Yeah. I have nothing really against him, apart from the fact that he seems like a half-wit.
Like, he does, but he's a lovable half-wit.
He's a lovable half-wit, isn't he?
And he lays into Paul Kent, which I think is hilarious.
He's a bit like Gomer Pyle. Like, I mean, he's that kind of lovable fuckwit, a Forrest Gump type guy, you know, who you want to have
he
around.
Means well.
Yeah, but you don't want him have him in charge of any kind of strategy. I mean, that would be foolish. You know, as I said, if you were to give someone, the village idiot, you know, the keys to a nuclear reactor and then complain when there's a meltdown, it's really your own fault.
You know, like, he doesn't have much experience either. He only ran Queensland. So,
yeah. Queensland really just runs itself. Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Now, we're not necessarily always the arbiters of moral good taste, gents, which is why at this stage...
Oh, fuck off.
I'm sorry. It's actually true. Now, it's time to actually shamelessly leverage off possibly one of Australia's greatest social problems, gambling. This will be a new segment each week. We call it Multi-Madness. Cue the music. Now, this will be a recurring segment each week where Xander, Chip and myself We'll put forward our best multi. Now, there's only a few rules. One is that it can't be any more than five legs. One is that it can't be less than two legs because it's not a multi. And the other one is you can't gamble on Russia winning the World Cup. So there's very few rules that we have to put across. So we're probably going to start with you, Chip. What's your multi for the weekend of NRL coming up?
Well, look, being an experienced gambler, I'm going to go with something reasonably safe. I'm going to go with Latrell Mitchell to score a try in the State of Origin. And I'm also going to go with New South Wales to complete the whitewash 3-0 this year. Now, I know two of those games are in the bag.
Now, what are the collective odds for those two legs?
I think we're at about $3.50.
You're going very conservative. A two-leg, $3.50. You feel confident?
Oh, look, that's why I'm going conservative. I know that you guys are...
so competitive. Xander, what's your multi for the week ahead?
Picking St George to win because I know Ben Hunt won't be playing for them. Bulldogs v Canberra game, I'm going to have Nick Kotrick, the first try scorer. And I will have New South Wales to win Origin.
I like it, mate. Just to let you know, that creates the odds of $35 to one. So that's a tough one.
Thanks, St George.
Yeah, St George at $2.55, they are value. But Nick Kotrick is $8.50 to be first try scorer against the Dogs. That seems incredible odds, actually, for someone who seems to score so often.
I know.
So that's a pretty good multi. For what it's worth, my multi is a four-legger. I, too, am going for St George Illawarra to beat the Melbourne Storm. I'm also going for the Warriors to knock over the Panthers. I'm going for the Raiders to beat Canterbury by 1-12. And I'm going for the Gold Coast to stage an upset against the Broncos, also by 1-12, creating a 44-1 odd.
You're going for the Titans to win?
Yes. Well, it is in Origin round, so Brisbane are missing some players.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. And I don't think they're playing particularly well. Mm. And the Titans are a bit of an under-the-radar team. They've strung a few wins together in the last month, so... for me, it's a possible shot, but we'll find out. So what we're going to do from here on in is actually keep an accumulative tally of how we're going on these multi-bets. And obviously, if any of us are doing well, we'll expect commissions off anyone who emulates our bets. And that's how we hope to make money for the show and try to make some kind of profitable model. Whoever loses at the end of the year, the winner will get to sleep with the wives or the partners of the other people on the show. Pretty tough, very 1600s.
Kind of works for me because I'm single.
Yeah, that's going to be fucked. Who's your next of kin? Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. It's that time of the show where, unfortunately, chaps, we have to wrap up. We've got nothing left to say.
And we've run out of beer.
We've run out of beer. We've got our legal team here and they've said a lot of disparaging things, particularly about Xander. They didn't like his comments about the World Cup and Russia in particular. So he'll be taken away for questioning, but hopefully he'll be back. Well, I would say next week, but we never know, do we, when we're going to record again.
I've been in the house on Russia winning the World Cup at this stage.
Have you?
I think I'm well placed.
You're in good shape because it's not a level playing field over there at the moment.
It's not. I actually hear that teams who go up against them may be shot if they don't.
It's a great disincentive. Look, for the listeners, for the very few listeners who like the show, we would implore you to please review us on iTunes. You only have to put in 23 seconds of effort, we've established. So that's about the same amount of time that Josh Reynolds has spent on the field this year, so it's really not a long amount of time. So please spare us a thought, share it with your friends, even sneak pamphlets about the show into church boxes. We really don't give a shit. But until next time, just do what Ash Taylor would do and look like a young ethnic version of Mickey Rooney. Catch you next time. Oh, fuck me, Indy.